Hello, this is the meeting of the sealed book. The date is the 3rd of July, 2022, and we're at Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 14, verse 31. Thank you, Harm. And Lisa has been doing the last few lessons. So Lisa, could you give a little recap about what happened?
Yeah, so on the last couple lessons, we talked about the three branches of the house of Israel that were taken and planted in not so good land, but how they were able to come back and help Christ. And so these three branches came back and were possibly the three wise men that were able to help nurture Christ as he grew up in the land of Jerusalem. So good stuff, fun stuff. I'm trying to think what else I could say. Those three branches that were planted in the land of the Orient or the lowlands, and then were brought back to be with Jesus Christ. So now we get to learn about the fourth branch, I believe. So,
Lisa, you forgot your surprise.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, it gives the names. It gives the names in here of the three wise men. So we learn that they are Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, and Lazarus. And so that's kind of a fun little tidbit that we learn through the sealed book. If my interpretation is correct, but that's subject to interpretation. All right.
Thank you, Lisa. Then we will start off with verse 31. Do you want to read the verse 31?
Give me just a second. I'm trying to pull it up off John Pat's server. So,
okay.
In other words, I can't read it yet.
Okay. Do you want us to wait or?
No, get somebody to get it and then I'll be in there reading and just when I do get it.
Okay, great. Brother Keckler, do you have the sealed book with you? There it is. Great.
Okay. Verse 31.
Yeah.
Okay, here goes. These were the three branches from the wild olive tree, planted in the lowlands of the Orient, and were great friends from the beginning to the end of my journey on the earth of their ancestors. Oh, that's 30. Sorry.
That's 30. Go ahead.
And verse 31. And the Lord of the vineyard said to the servant, "Look here and see the last. Behold," it refers to the descendants of Lehi, "the branches of the original olive tree, planted in the land of his inheritance. Behold, I have planted them on a piece of fertile land, yea, in this land overseas, and I took care of it all this time, and only a part of the tree bore good fruit, but the other part of the tree produced bitter fruit, and it happened that a long time passed since I planted them, and the branches did not produce good fruit. And the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his servant, Come, let us go down, and let us return to the work of this vineyard. For behold, the time draweth nigh, and the end shall come soon. Therefore, I must save fruit for myself for the next season."
Thank you. There are some footnotes here. Does anybody want to comment?
I just wanted to say that I was trying to pull off the sealed book off John's site, and it looks like they replaced it with the Book of Mormon copy of Jacob's Allegory. So when you go to pull it up, anyway, somebody might check that out because that's where I usually get the sealed book from. So that's on John Pratt's old site.
All right. I'll check into that. You said, what area are you in on the site?
Well, you go into a sealed book, and then he has three. You can get a Portuguese and English.
Okay.
And when you pull up the English that I normally pull up, I just get the I get the wrong book. So that's never happened before.
Okay.
So I'll pass that on to you guys.
Thank you.
Dewey, that might just be a glitch because when you said to go to John Pratt, I did that, and I do have it pulled up.
Okay, maybe it's me.
Just retry it.
Okay, will do. Sorry to interrupt.
No worries.
Well, I just one thought, maybe. Only a part of the three bore good fruit. So the Lord must love all the effort. I begin to appreciate this symbolism more and more, that we really that we are really loved by the Lord, as a special people. So that's one thought I wanted to share. I just read something like that also in the fourth book of Ezra, and it's coming also in the book of Enoch. It's a lot about these symbolisms, and we have to learn to appreciate that even if there's a small part surviving, it's very valuable, and the rareness makes it more valuable, probably. So we remember, I think we should remember the effort the Lord put in this earth and this people living in these days to get the good fruit. And it's sad to say, I must say, fruit for myself. I love that for the next season. So we're also maybe judged in how we appreciate our fruit on whatever level we may partake of it. So that's a thought. Thank you.
Thanks. There are also some footnotes that might be interesting to read those. Jacob 5 verse 26 and Jacob 5 verse 27, so it's actually verse 26 till verse 29. Do you want to read it, Harm? You have it here.
Yeah, it's okay.
Jacob 5
verse 27,
verse 26 until 29.
What I always loved about this chapter is that it has 77 chapters.
Jacob
5, about the olive tree. This is the longest one in the Book of Mormon. Sorry, it's 77 from Adam to Jesus. Little stuff. Okay, there we go. But behold, the servant said unto him, let us prune it and dig about it and nourish it a little longer, that perhaps it may bring forth fruit unto thee, good fruit unto thee, that thou canst lay it up against season. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard and the servant of the Lord of the vineyard did nourish all the fruit of the vineyard. How many?
To until 29 also.
Oh, yeah. And it came to pass that a long time had passed away, and the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servant, come, let us go down into the vineyard, that we may labor again in the vineyard. For behold, the time draweth near, and the end come soon cometh, wherefore I must lay up fruit against the season unto mine own self. Also thinking of the strange, marvelous and strange work.
It's interesting. It doesn't say that the tree produces bitter fruits. That's only in the sealed book. Well, that was something I...
All the nourish all the fruit. Mm-hmm. That's something that stands out for me.
They nourished it all, but in the sealed book it said the tree produced also bitter fruit apart.
Well, so it does say in 26 of Jacob 5, it says, it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto the servant, pluck off the branches that have not brought forth good fruit and cast them into the fire.
Okay.
So maybe that's inferred there. I don't know.
Yeah, could be. Yeah.
Well, we also need to remember that what's given to us in the sealed book was held back for us at this time to understand feelings better, I guess. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Yesterday we talked about another thing that they talked about at the lesson was the pattern of how everyone, you know, listened to the Lord and did what was asked of them, and then they fell into apostasy. And I was taking that to be the bitter fruit was intermingling with the good, but they pointed out that it was a pattern of good things and then apostasy, and then again the keys were brought back to earth through the prophet, and Joseph Smith had the keys. And then we fell again into the apostasy. That is something that people don't even understand anymore. They just think everything is fine. But it was pointed out how strong the pattern was as another example of a true prophet. Anyway, I was just bringing that up.
Thanks for that. Maybe you could read the next verse, Jeannie.
Okay. It so happened after the third day, after I was resurrected in Jerusalem, that I came to be among my other sheep of whom I have spoken, that these I would also have to visit, which are a branch of the house of Israel planted in a fertile land. But behold, I say to you that although they live a period of total harmony for a short time, with the noble sentiments coming from the most great gift from the Spirit of God, behold, in the course of his future days, the natural tree, that is the Jews, under whom the branches wild, which are the Gentiles that were grafted, will be overburdened with every kind of fruit, both of Jew and Gentile. And this will occur both in the land of your ancestors as well as in the land of your inheritance. For how much many shall come from other lands, even many Jews, from various tribes of Israel and also from Ephraim. But behold, there shall be many Gentiles coming from afar, from places overseas, and it shall be seen that none of their fruits shall be good unto me in this period of time. Wow.
It's strong.
It is.
What are your thoughts, Jeannie?
Many Gentiles coming from afar. I mean, right now we're seeing such a flux of people moving and people trying to flock to the United States. And are they bringing good things with them? That's a great question. But I did not, I promise I did not read this verse before my last comment, but it does sound like it is talking about how we get the noble sentiments and then we kind of lose track of them. That so many things will tear us apart is what it kind of sounds like, that that it's going to be a trial.
Yeah. And it is, I think, because only a little thing can happen and people can split up over something very small nowadays, I feel. And it's because of, I also think, the individuality that has been put on us for so long, you know, that it's good to be your own individual and you have to be unique. So it's harder for people, I think, to get together in a group and work together, because everybody has his own wishes and his own wants. And yeah, how is that going in Brazil, Rutter Kackler? Could you tell something about that? How are things going? Is it, yeah, they probably have obstacles, because that is the only place right now, I think, where it is being put into practice, right?
Well, they're trying.
Yeah.
It's trying. Let me just tell you a little experience last night. After the service, it happened to be Thiago, if you know him. He's the one who does most of the video organizing. He is the son of Patricia Pires, and he it was his birthday, and so they had a little, Thiago's sisters brought snacks and sweets and things to eat, and so they had a little thing last night, a little gathering downstairs in honor of Thiago's birthday. And well, Mauricio was there, and Mauricio told me that his daughter's on the way to the service. It gets dark down here at 6 o'clock, so it's early, but it's about the same time year round, I think, because it's fairly close to the equator. But do you know about the mountain Cambarella? Have you heard about Cambarella Mountain? Okay, one of the outstanding features of the topography here in this part of Brazil, which is the southern coastal region, are the mountains. They're like a lot of hills. I mean, very pronounced hills, very steep hills. They make little mountains. Obviously, they're not like Colorado mountains, but they basically rise from sea level, and they go maybe I would say 3,000 feet maybe at the highest, and so they are fairly big hills. And one of them in this range that's near Palhoça is called it's the Cambarella Range, and the highest mountain is Cambarella. And since Mauricio moved here, this is where Mauricio goes to meet the angels. And they come at night. And when they come, they produce a light, like a star, like you could imagine the star over Jerusalem. It wasn't like the star over Jesus, the star that marked Jesus' birth, because that appeared to be more a heavenly body. But these are angelic beings, and they produce, they're like beings of light. Like I don't think they can hide the light that they produce. And you can see the lights on the mountain. Anybody in the city can see the lights. For example, I'll take too many sidetracks here, but we were traveling down to where they have their little reunions or their conferences at a camp, and went by Cambarella, And Mauricio said that the people in this gas station had told Mauricio on a prior occasion that they saw lights on the mountain. And so townspeople can see these lights and they move. And what they are is angelic beings coming to the mountain. And for example, when Moroni comes, when Mauricio explained that he would go up to the mountain and he could look in the heavens and he'd see a light that appeared sort of like moving towards him. And he said, that's Moroni. And Moroni would come in this ball of light and get closer, and then he would appear. And so they travel in these, oh, I suppose, I don't know what the word is. There's a word. Is it orb or something that's a term? It's not a new thing because it's happened all through all dispensations.
Merkaba?
Pardon?
Is it a Merkaba? The what it is with the pyramid turning to the right and one pointed down to the left, what it says in the Keys of Enoch. Sorry, go ahead. It's new, just something.
No. Sorry. Okay. But anyway, and so his daughter saw lights on the mountain, and that's always exciting because. Just because of significance. The prophet climbs the mountain and meets and talks and gets taught by the angels. And it doesn't happen every day, but it happens, you know, occasionally. And Mauricio made a comment that to me that because of that, it was like a sign that we're on the right track. Things are going well. It's, you know, there's been problems here, but they've been working through those, and that was like confirmation that, well, okay, good, we're moving ahead now. And couple that with the search for the first place of refuge to fulfill that revelation. Jesus said, you must choose land for an agribusiness. It's like things are really getting exciting here in the next few weeks. And so the adversary seems to be, bound at the moment. He gets loose once in a while and causes havoc. But Mauricio is truly a prophet of God, and he has a spiritual battle to fight. And we know some of what happened in the wilderness. No, he doesn't call it the wilderness. He calls it the desert. From November conference last year, for like 5 to 6 months after that, or maybe it was four months or so after that, he was in what he calls the desert, where he had to go and basically face the devil, like Jesus did, and he passed those tests. And so he is a proven prophet of God. He's got the marks on his body from a prior occasion when he was taken into heavenly Zion. And things are in place for accomplishing what the Lord said in that revelation, you know, that the Lord required that we start the United Order of Enoch and the Associated Cities of Refuge. And so that's our focus. And so things are looking up. That was a long story, but and Camberella, the thing is that it's just right there. I mean, if I walk down the street here, oh, maybe a quarter mile, I could see the mountain. But anyway, it's a special place.
Thank you for sharing that. I also saw a comment from the temp. He said, amazing. We still don't know who you are, temp. But
what did he say?
There was there was a chat. Well, you said amazing, the time. Still not.
Well, this is a story. This is information that needs to go to the ends of the earth. And if I can comment a little bit about a previous verse, I'm usually slow to comment because I get to thinking about them. And by the time I can formulate my questions or my thoughts, we're on to one or two verses beyond. But the part here that we read recently that said, it's even on the previous page, I must save fruit for myself for the next season.
Yeah,
you know,
verse 31.
Verse 31. It's like the thought occurred to me that next season is perhaps the next dispensation. And the next dispensation that we know of now is do you use the term millennial reign? Is that familiar to you? The thousand-year reign of Jesus on earth and righteousness. You know, that just seems that just like such a wonderful thing. But, you know, what occurred to me is that Jesus, when you pick a bunch of grapes, you know, the grapes are made, you go through and if you buy a bunch of grapes from the store, and there might be some overripe ones there or some that are squashed or something, and you pick off and you discard those. But the thought was is that basically people qualify themselves to be chosen. You know, that you seek the righteousness of Jesus Christ, be obedient to his commandments, and have a heart for the Lord and for each other. You know, you are then making yourselves, letting the Lord transform you into a good fruit. You know, and I think that's largely what happens, is that when he gathers his people, he says, Doctrine and Covenant says that the righteous shall be gathered out from among all nations and come to Zion singing with songs of everlasting joy. You know, people are coming from all nations, but there's some who have the right hearts and the right spirits, and God will gather those in. And so I really think there's a lot of responsibility on the individual to decide where they want to be. And it's not just the Lord, you know, just picking randomly the ones he thinks he likes, you know, the one he likes the best. It's the ones that have qualified. And the Lord looks not on the outside, but at the heart. So, I mean, you know, we know all this, but that's what kind of went through my mind as we were studying that verse.
Yeah. And it's also about what kind of fruits are we producing ourselves, you know? Are we bitter, or are we happy, or are we enthusiastic?
Well, maybe also interesting thought that from the branches wild, which are the Gentiles that were grafted, will be overburdened with every kind of fruit of both Jew and Gentile. So I think that's probably the outside, that what we can see, and we have to look inward. And that's, when I talk about the sealed book to people who want to hear, I usually talk about the fruits that for me really enlightening was that the fruits are the good feelings. So I was used to fruit being maybe successful in things, that the Lord would bless us both physically and spiritually. And I still believe that, only it is a different awareness. And if you see that people are overburdened with every kind of fruit, that also reminds me of my family or friends who are preoccupied with all their possessions and their success, and they don't have time to study the deeper things. So probably if we're always with our heads, in these things, the seed that is sown in our hearts will get too little water, too little nourishment, to come to the point that you are fearless in following the promptings. So that's probably the overburdened. If it is stress or pain, or it doesn't matter, I think. So thank you, Brother Kekler, for that vision, that we're going to the happy times, and that we can put it on our shoulders, and together we can make it, and we have the roadmap.
Exactly. Exactly, Brother Harm. If I could just, can I say one more thing? I don't want to talk too much here, but you know, Joseph Smith Jr. Was basically what was the term I was going to use? A Protestant, out of a Protestant background. What was the difference about him? Why, what was the preparation in his life that made him respond to this, or to even to have this marvelous experience with the Lord in the Grove? And you know, why did he have that experience? And I think it was because he was destined or predestined in heaven as a prophet of the Lord that the Lord sent to the earth, you know, to help the people sort things out and to get on the right track with the Book of Mormon coming forth and so on. And that same thing is happening now, as Brother Mauricio is a humble person, and I was a little bit surprised at the lesson last night it's a proper lesson that he doesn't go around saying I'm a prophet of the Lord, you know, and treat it as a badge of honor or out of pride or anything. But it's what's happening again, is that the Lord sent him as a prophet. The Lord sends the prophets to the earth, to his people, and to prepare the people. And that's what's happening. And the sealed book came along as the herald of the second invitation. And so we are in a way we're going through the restoration again, or at least the continuing of the restoration. And then that's that altogether, it's super exciting to realize that where we are in the clock is ticking in the timeline. We are at the very end of the, the last dispensation before the millennial reign. The Lord says that in the sealed book. And so all these things will come together. And so you can expect a lot of things to happen, and to happen quickly. And so that's why I'm in Brazil. I felt strongly for the last year or so that if 2022, as far as my contribution, if I don't make the contribution this year, I felt like I'd missed my window of opportunity. So that's why I'm here. And so
I have a comment on Joseph Smith. It's a little back to what you were talking about with Joseph Smith, but I think, and I'm going to put this on the chat line, I just sent it. And basically in our DNC, in DNC 90, verse 16,
You mean the LDS?
Yes, and this is instruction to Joseph Smith. And it gives him a whole bunch of instructions, but this is a particular one that I want you to ponder about. It says, and this will be your business and mission in all of your lives. Notice that's plural. To preside in council and set in order the affairs of the church and the kingdom. And so we really don't know how many times Joseph Smith has been on the earth, or how many more times he'll be on the earth in the future. I think I don't know. There aren't too many people that I could have this conversation with. So maybe John Pratt that would go, oh, you know, where he would consider multiple mortalities. And that was one of his first talks he gave down in Brazil, that many of us have been on the earth more than once. I mean, if you think about it, you can't learn everything in one lifetime. What's it like to be rich? What's it like to be poor? What's it like? And then the other thing, if you think about it for a little bit, I forget who he did it to, but he did it to several men, but he reached down on one guy's knee and says that he'll be one of the 144,000. So that means he would have to come back on the earth again in our time period. I mean, basically, we're right in the time period where the Lord calls the servant to call the 144,000 and gather everyone to their places, to the New Jerusalem in particular. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out. In your mission in all of your lives, plural, for you guys to ponder about.
May I talk about that a little bit? Mauricio is writing a manual, and that's a subject of prayer, please, because he seems to get diverted quick, you know, a lot, and it's difficult for him to actually complete a chapter. But he has completed the first chapter, and one of the things he wants to write about is what is referred to here about the. Whatever term you want to use, the multiple mortalities or the that idea. But, you know, I think he knows, Mauricio says that there are, you know, some misunderstandings and some proper understandings, and he as the prophet will set that out for, you know, clarify that for us as far as how it's to be taught into the church. But you know, the reason for all this is because of what the Lord says, is that all things will be fulfilled. And so if someone is given a mission, such as Joseph Smith Jr. to establish the Holy City and the New Jerusalem, and in his life it doesn't happen, the Lord will find a way so that that continues later. And so that's why I see the purpose of all that, that all things will be fulfilled according to the word of the Lord.
Thank you all. It reminded me of what the lesson also yesterday said, Brother Keckler, about the dispensation that we're in. It said in the verse 2 that Mauricio Arthur Berger is today this prophet of God in this, which is the 11th hour of the fullness of time. So yeah, we're getting close. Maybe go on to the next verse.
Before we go on, the very last and that of verse 32, yep. It says that none of their fruit shall be good unto me in this period of time. And if you look at the footnote, it takes you back to Jacob 5:3, which mm-hmm. is the very beginning, where it talks about the house of Israel, the tree. And it says, and it grew and waxed old and began to decay. And so I think just like what happened in the beginning is happening now. Our tree is beginning to decay. There's lots of bad fruit in this land oversea, which is where we're at right now. So I just wanted to point that out.
Good. Thank you, Lisa. Did you already read a verse? Could you read verse 33?
Yeah. I'll read 33. All right, it is therefore at this time that the prophecies concerning the days of that predicted darkness are fulfilled, which will cover the earth, when the sun will set on the prophets, and the light of men will become darkness, And there will be no one to tell you how much longer this will last. By what form is that church that was foretold to Nephi, son of Lehi, that would be the most abominable of all the churches, whose founder is the devil, and who, for the praise of the world, will destroy the saints of God and also enslave them in that land which separates the seed of Lehi through the many waters. So I think this particular verse is probably talking about the Dark Ages. But that's just my thought, because it's going in chronological order. So, you know, so I guess.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because how is everything recorded, you know, with the Inquisition. It was a very long period in Europe. So, and it's very clear with the, in the land that separates the seas of Lehi. So we have two main parts of the story of the Israelites in the East and the West. So,
but is
this is the most abominable. Sorry, go ahead.
But this is not also talking about like the LDS Church. That will, because that's what I thought about, will destroy the saints of God and enslave them, because
I think
they're being taught not the correct things as we now learned. So that
I think you've got the time period a little. Read John Pratt's synopsis on this. It helps me a lot that there are five gatherings. And this is the third gathering in the Dark Ages. So the LDS Church is not around. However, there is a Roman Catholic Church who goes and takes over the whole world, deletes the scriptures, and changes everything. And to me, when it talks about the great and abominable church, in this account and also in Nephi's account, when you look at the timing, I mean, to me, it looks like the Roman Catholic Church. And of course, the Roman Catholic Church sued the LDS Church for that in the Book of Mormon. And so we became so politically correct that we would no longer teach that. But we used to teach that this great and abominable church is the Roman Catholic Church. See, if you think about the time period here, we're going into the Dark Ages or a bit. It's right after the third gathering, the third time they gathered, and the church apostatizes. And then Constantine takes over the church and becomes the Roman Catholic Church. And then we go into the Dark Ages. So for me, you know, we have in the fourth gathering, I'm relating that to John's paper because it makes me. Helps me understand the different groupings. I mean, you be sure to reread that. But anyway, that's my take on that. I don't think it's the LDS Church at this point. I don't even think the LDS Church is a power yet, as I understand it.
Also, a thought maybe in relation to this, John Pratt pointed out that the mapping of the stars were saved through time, hidden through time, through the Jews. And I think the abomination of this is that they took out the words, like the Book of Enoch and the thing of Ezra, and it's all in the Ethiopian Bible. But it was interesting, the lesson we had yesterday with the Brother Bento, he talked about mapping the words. So we're mapped because of the stars. We could maybe, like with what John Pratt said, to get the season right, and that we know where we are in which season and in the 11th hour. And then now is the period of mapping the words. So we cannot map the words without the spirit. So we have to have the prophet and the right organization to have the promise of the spirit. And now we have through the that the Melchizedek priesthood is restored and the right ordinances with the sacrament, we can have the full understanding in the words, because the maps of the stars testify of the eternal plan of the whole earth and Jesus as our door to the Father. But now is the question of mapping the words, and this is, isn't that great? So angels and lights on the one hand, and small words and characters and mathematics in the Torah, all these beautiful things come together in these texts, and not the, for the praise of the world, but as Brother Kekler says, God sees the heart, and that's our applause, if you will, is the Holy Ghost signing and testifying of the truth. Just some thoughts. Sorry, I feel so at home with you guys so that I totally flap out all my feelings. So thank you for being so mild on me.
Thank you for sharing.
Hey, Suzanne.
Hey, Suzanne, do you want to, do you have the book? Couldn't hear you.
You're muted, Suzanne.
Yep. Could you
hear me now?
Yep. Could you read verse 34?
Yes. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto the servant, what shall we do for this tree, that it may again store its good fruit for me? And the servant said to his master, look, because you have grafted branches of the wild olive tree, that is the Gentiles in the natural olive wood through Christ, then they nourish the roots so that they are alive and not dead. See therefore that they are still good.
Could you also read verse 35?
Sure. But behold, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his servants, is it of no use to me that the tree and its roots, if they bear evil fruit, nevertheless, knowing that their roots are good, I will preserve them for a future purpose. And because of their great strength, they have produced good fruit of the grafted branches. And henceforth, the grafted branches will grow and overcome the roots of the tree. And because the branches are grafted, will grow and overcome the roots, then it will produce many evil fruits and be thrown into the fire, unless we do something to preserve it.
Okay, so the bad branches are taking over if we let them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, unfortunately. Sir.
Oh. Yeah. What are your thoughts, Suzanne?
Oh no, it's a lot because there's so much symbolism. Yeah. It's a lot to kind of take in. And I apologize, I've kind of been in and out. That's why I wasn't on video, because I've had different things going on here this morning. But yeah, I'm just feeling a little overwhelmed this morning, just feeling like I just really don't know a lot. I'm feeling very like
you know enough.
I know enough to be too dangerous to my salvation.
to be here.
Yeah, you know enough to be here. Yeah, that's
right.
That's
right.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Does anybody else have a comment or a thought? Brother Kekler.
This is similar. it seems similar to the saga of the Book of Mormon, where you've got this cycle, a pattern even in the Book of Mormon, where the people become righteous, and then they become successful, wealthy, if you will. They get taken over by pride, and then they fall. And then that cycle goes over and over again. I don't know how many times it's repeated, but it's quite a few. It may not be exactly what this verse is talking about, but that struggle is there. We see it in the life of God's people. It's ever present. And that's what sometimes we just say, that's life. But that's why we need a savior.
Yep. Yeah. Amen to that. We see that in our own lives. I mean, I see that in my own lives, the cycles that we go through. And, you know, I am my mission president was a very wise man, and he was, you know, he was very firm. He was not a loving, warm and fuzzy kind of leader, but he, you know, he knew the scriptures, and he was very, I feel like he was guided a lot by the Spirit, and he just reiterated to us over and over that there's nothing new under the sun. Like, you know, behaviors and patterns, like, of people, and, you know, just repeat, unfortunately, because.
But it's true and not true.
Right.
Because this is new. And so if you say this is all happened again, this is really different, because here everything comes together.
I agree with, like, because, yeah, obviously, like, the book is, like, the sealed book is new, but the patterns of people's behavior, you know, is, I think, what he was trying to say, like, that, you know, pride always sneaks up in our lives, and, you know, we can go along, and, you know, recently, I've just been really emotional, and really just been, like, I don't know. I've just kind of been really off, and I'm just kind of trying to evaluate, like, you know, what's happening and what's different. And so I've had to reevaluate, like, you know, some things in my own life so that I can get back to, and you're not, you know, emotions are fine and they're normal and they're good for us, because they are good gauges of us to be more in tune to the Spirit, you know, in different ways. But yeah, so I don't know, I'm just feeling very thankful to be here and grateful, and a little, I'm excited, but I'm also a little bit overwhelmed. I mean, it's so exciting to hear all these things happening in Brazil, but I'm just like, what are my next steps? You know, where should my focus be? You know, because eventually that's where I want to be, but I feel like I need to focus on one of my daughters particularly. So anyway, I digress. I'm kind of going off on a tangent.
Yeah, we all have our personal things that we are going through. Yeah, and how you deal with that. But for me, with the knowledge of the sealed book, I can handle things better than before. So that's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely. Yeah.
It's such a gift, because it's going to teach us how to break that pride cycle, right? Doesn't it teach us how we're going to overcome the cycle? It's through our feelings.
Yep.
So such a gift.
Yeah.
Definitely such a gift. And I'm so grateful too, just for the simplicity of it, that it just goes back so much to, like, where is our heart? You know, where is our heart? And nothing else matters, you know, because we can get so caught up in the world and titles and money and, you know, and and it's just, there's just so many conversations and so many focuses that people have now that I'm just like, in my mind, I'm like, I can't even believe that you're, like, putting energy to this. You know, because it's so irrelevant.
I feel that too. I feel it too, just like this pulling away from all the crazy Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
I feel what you're feeling, Suzanne. Yeah. I think Brother Bob had something to say.
I just wanted to say that this topic adds to the excitement even more, because men and women are carnal and devilish and selfish, whatever it says there in the Book of Mormon, by nature, and left to our own devices, we'll never succeed. Satan will always win, unless the righteousness of Christ prevails, and that's why the scriptures talk about the work being cut short in righteousness, that if the time period is not cut short, that's why the sealed book is coming forth at the very end of time, is that it won't, because there won't be time for people to what did it say in the sealed book? To pollute or to change the ordinances by the precepts of men, that those won't be able to creep in and destroy the message and the truth of God. So that's why there's this urgency to act and to do it now. And I just pulled up a couple of verses from the Doctrine and Covenants, wherever they went. I'm sorry, these are RLDS, but you can get the understanding. The verses in section 52 may be the same in both verse. One's in section 52, one's in 83, but it says, "For thus saith the Lord, I will cut my work short in righteousness, and for the days cometh that I will send forth my judgments unto victory." And in 83 it says, "Plagues shall go forth, and they shall not be taken from the earth until I have completed my work, which shall be cut short in righteousness." And so where were you at? Here we go. And so I think that's an important aspect of this whole thing. God saved this till the very end so it could be successful.
That's why it was hidden, that we have little amount of time.
Yes.
And the stones will be more shiny, and but also lots of people will not get there. But we have to accept that's part of the plan. So do our best to get so many as possible as we can reach.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah, amen, Bob. Thanks for that. I'm going to go read those again later, those verses. So you said it was 52 and 83, right, in the DNC?
Those are RLDS verses. Just search on cut short. Just do a search. My work will be cut short. Mm-hmm. And you'll get the verses.
Well, the Lord is not going to allow another apostasy after this. He's
right.
Building up his church, and the righteous will make choices, and the Lord will gather them out, and there will not be another apostasy. I think that's referring to cutting short the righteous.
Yes.
Thank you so much, everybody. It's time to end. So we are at next week is verse 36. So we're getting there slowly but surely. Okay. The end of the sealed book.
Okay, thank you all. Stop the recording now.
Yes.